said, sir, if you've had your breakfast this morning, open your cupboards, look at your packets of cereal and tins and that. Have you ever looked about where they come from? Well, if you look at a back of a can of kidney beans, let's say you're making a chili con carne tonight, they're native to Peru. Now, Peru is not on our doorstep. It's nearly 6,000 miles away. So every kidney bean that comes in is travelling 6,000 miles away. And if you think about the carbon footprint of that, the objective is to try and get that a little bit lower. So you only have to go to the University of Warwick, and that is where our very own Rosie Eaton is this morning for a very special harvesting, Rosie.
Morning, Richard. Yes, it's a lovely morning to be in the Warwickshire countryside with a thick blanket of mist just covering the fields around Wellesbourne, which is where I am today. Now, I am in a sort of business park, but if you sniff the air, you can smell that sort of agricultural smell that you get with farms. And that's because it is a big day for the Crop Centre here near Wellesbourne, because they have created right here two totally new varieties of beans. And as you say, that's quite a big thing in this country. We don't normally grow dried style beans here. Now, the beans are firmly rooted in Coventry and Warwickshire because, as you say, they've named them Godiva and Olivia, one of Shakespeare's characters from Twelfth Night. And today is a massive day because they're going to be harvested. So if you come back to me later in the programme, I'll be getting my first sight of those two new beans developed right here in Warwickshire.
I didn't have you down as someone who was green-fingered, Rosie, but there's all many talents to your strings to your bow. Now, before you go, Rosie, just quickly before we speak to Hannah about the news, we were talking about expressions that are to your family this morning, things that your family might say. So my mum used to say, pot walloping here, pot walloping there, which means she basically stays busy. Is there any phrases that... I'm going to bring in producer Jenna here. We were saying about a bean, half bean, half bean, a bean on beans day.
Yeah, how many beans make five?
How many beans make five? Now, you heard this expression.
Yes, absolutely, but not from my kind of blood family. It's from my mother-in-law, who has roots around London and grew up in Bognor Regis. And when she started saying this to me, I was like... What are you on about? You and Jenna are making me feel in much better company this morning. But my mum, who is from Nottingham, her big saying was, it's black over Bill's mothers. I don't know if anyone's heard that one, but that means there's clouds. I know, there's clouds on the horizon. It's going to be, you know, there's going to be clouds rolling in and rain coming later. So hopefully not that this morning in Wellesbourne.
Wait, black over Bill's covers?
Mothers.
Mothers.
Who is Bill?
Look it up. Everyone said it.
Thanks, Rosie. We'll catch you in a bit later on.
Some new stuff this morning, aren't we?
Yeah, I've never heard of black over Bill's mothers. It's a great expression.
You can use it on me.
You can use it on you. Now, why am I talking about beans? Well, this morning we will be harvesting the first Godiva bean, a Coventry icon-inspired bean. And, Rosie, you're there for the big moment.
I am. I'm at the University of Warwick's Crop Centre near Wellesbourne, and I've come down in the field. It is a beautiful morning to be out in the field. The sun is now burning through that mist I described earlier and shining on this wonderful field full of Godiva and Olivia beans. We're going to be getting a little bit closer to them a bit later on in the programme, but I'm here with Eric Hollop, who's the Professor of Crop Genetics, who's the lead researcher on this project. Morning, Eric.
Yeah, good morning. It is a lovely morning.
It is. Thanks so much for being here so early. And this is an exciting day for you in the process of developing these beans from scratch here at the university. Why is it such a big day?
Well, it's been a long road. The research started 2011, 2012. 2015, the local farmer, Derek, who's going to be combining today, started working with us. We were talking about food, the potential of food. And today, the exciting today is that the seed that we're harvesting of two really exciting new varieties, Godiva and Olivia. We're harvesting seed to produce food on this farm next year.
That is incredible, isn't it? So you started off as a professor more than 10 years ago, and up to now, sorry, you've been a professor for longer than that, I'm sure, but on this project, and up till now it's been for research purposes, but now you're stepping into the big world of commercialization of this bean.
It's commercialization, but the most important part of the research is working with some communities. We're working with some local cooks and bakers. We've been doing this for a couple of years now. So we have harvested with Derek in the past, and all that's been donated as research material with people that cook and eat. They cook for others. So we're getting a lot of feedback, and we're excited now because we want to go that next step and actually bring the seed commercialization into actual food sales.
Now, the beans are very firmly rooted in Warwickshire. You've named them Godiva and also Olivia, one of Shakespeare's characters. Why is it so important, and why is it such a big deal that you're growing these dried beans here in England?
Storytelling, right? So actually, the parent of Capulet, which is the first variety, it's a white navy bean. The parent is Edmund. It was named by the previous researchers here after a Shakespeare character. We followed on Capulet being an improved variety, Romeo and Juliet. We want to make a connection with local communities. So Godiva, that bean is a blonde colored bean when we harvest it. So it's a good connection there. And it gets the story with people in Coventry that want to eat something that they can develop a new culture around.
And it's very unusual, isn't it, to be growing these sorts of beans in this country?
That's the key, yeah. All the beans that have ever been eaten out of a tin of baked beans have been imported for a good reason. The varieties of a navy bean won't grow in this country. They take too long. They don't grow well with the British sunshine. So all three varieties, Capulet, Godiva, and Olivia, we know they grow and thrive in a British summer. They take the sunshine that they can get, and they produce a really nice bean for eating.
And you're harvesting these from today for commercial crops. What will happen to them next year?
So Capulet, the navy bean, the commercial trial is actually up in Lincoln. There's a farmer, Andy Ward. He's been having a YouTube story for the course of the year as he's been growing the crop. That's the lead variety for commercialization. It's a white navy bean, so it already resonates with what we currently eat. What we're doing here in Warwickshire is pushing the diversity. So having a blonde-colored kidney-like bean and a black bean, Olivia, those two will get us thinking about food. And it's got to start with material we have. It's got to be local. So we're trying to reach communities with those varieties just to get the story building around what we can do with these beans.
Well, Professor Eric Holub, thank you so much for that. We'll come back to you a bit later in the show. We'll get our fingers into these beans, the Godiva and the Olivia as well, grown and developed right here in Warwickshire and going beyond to the rest of the world.
Now, Rosie, you're someone who's quite conscious about the environment, I think, aren't you? I mean, you cycle around on your bike quite a lot. I mean, how conscious are you about the food on your plate? Do you know where it comes from?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I had a bit of a project for myself a few years ago where I really tried to only buy products, you know, vegetables and fruit, which had been grown fairly locally. And it's tricky, you know, you really have to kind of change your own habits and your own diet and your own tastes. Because, of course, during the winter here in Britain, there's a lot of, you know, cabbage and broccoli and curly kale and things that we might not the things that we might not necessarily choose. So definitely, if you want to eat consciously of your environment, then you do have to change your own habits. But of course, as Eric's shown us, there are products that can be grown here now, like these beans, which couldn't traditionally. So actually, you know, that's opening up the diet for people who are environmentally conscious.
Great stuff, Rosie. We'll be back there in around 20 minutes time, so Rosie's going to be spending the morning down there on the harvesting of the Godiva bean.
For the you'll be remembered for is her sense of humour.
Perhaps you would like a marmalade sandwich. I always keep one for emergencies.
So do I. I keep mine in here.
Happy Jubilee. And thank you for everything.
That's very kind.
It really was a beautiful moment, wasn't it, when she was sitting there opposite Paddington Bear. Well, we're remembering the Queen this morning on the programme, on the anniversary of the death. We'd love to know this morning, where were you when you heard the sad news about where the Queen was? I was at home. It was 6:30 in the evening. I was watching, and as we were talking to Pandora from the Daily Express earlier, as journalists in the day, we were all getting a sense that something was happening and that build-up. And then, of course, the news broke on the BBC with Hugh Edwards at 6:30. So you can let us know this morning. Also, as well, it's a big day because do you think about your carbon footprint of where your food in your cupboard has travelled from? Now, if you look on the back of a can of, say, kidney beans, they're native to Peru. But from Peru to Kov, that is over 6,000 miles. Well, today you only have to go to the University of Warwick, and that is where our very own Green Fingers is. Rosie Eaton this morning, Rosie.
Well, I don't know about green, sort of blonde-coloured fingers when it comes to these beans, because we're talking this morning about varieties of dried beans. So not those green beans that you have on the side of your meat and potatoes, but dried beans, actually the sort that you might find in a tin of baked beans. But these two, named Godiva and Olivia, have been created and grown right here in Warwickshire. I'm at the Crop Centre, the University of Warwick's outlet here in Wellesbourne, where all the magic has happened. And I'm now with Roseanne Maguire, who's a research fellow on the project. Morning, Roseanne.
Good morning.
Now, where this started from, developing beans, was about trying to increase the diversity of the sort of food that we're growing here in Britain, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's really important that we add more diverse crops into our diets.
But one question that occurs to me is, you know, are we used to eating dried beans in this country? And how are we going to persuade people that it's a good idea? Is that something that's come up for you?
It has. And that's one of the main projects I'm working on at the moment, a project called Bean Meals, where we are working collaboratively with many universities in different primary schools. So we've got some primary schools in Leicestershire where the children are experiencing beans in their canteens. The Godiva beans are being served to them and they're learning about them in the classrooms. And we even hosted them here at the Crop Centre for a day's activities.
Yeah, right in front of us, we can see three small patches of beans growing here, some with, you know, leafier and some with more beans. And these were planted by primary school children.
They were. They're looking really good. They had a really fun day where they could explore the whole plant. These patches, they sowed them. Some of the kids are really enthusiastic and maybe planted them a bit deeper, and jumping on them wasn't a good idea. But we're hoping to harvest them in the next couple of weeks. We'll pull the plants up and they'll go to the school so the children can thresh the beans themselves.
Thresh the beans, my goodness. So they're not just planting and eating them, but also getting involved in the harvest. And what you say about some of them were a bit too enthusiastic, you can really tell from the patches, can't you? Some of them are too leafy, really, and won't produce such good crops. So I've said I'm gonna squirrel that one and tell my children later, you must listen, otherwise you won't get the output that you're looking for. So the idea of getting kids involved in the growing and the threshing is to really improve diets and improve the diversity of food, like we said, in these schools.
It is, yes. And we're looking across the whole system. So it's with the children. If they become more familiar with these crops, they'll be more enthusiastic to try them. And then also with the cooks in the kitchens, if they're familiar with how to prepare and cook dry beans and making them into really exciting meals, then that's another step in the chain that needs to happen.
Yeah, it is a change in lifestyle, isn't it, to learn to cook with this sort of ingredient, which perhaps we haven't done traditionally. And I know traditionally children wouldn't be keen to eat dried beans. So can you give us some recipe suggestions, Roseanne?
Oh, well, these beans are really tasty for all sorts of meals, from your sausages. They go really well with sausages. They pair really well with your tomatoes. That's why beans and tomato sauce taste so good. I love them in soups and stews alongside my favourite British veg.
And you have got a 2-year-old child, and this poor thing, you're indoctrinating her, aren't you? How's she getting on with the beans?
Oh, she loves the beans, so she is very lucky she can come to the bean field with me. She loves looking at them in the pods. They're a really fun plaything. We have them at our table every week, so she really enjoys eating them. They take on so much flavour from the meals you're cooking, so yeah, don't be afraid to cook beans.
Because actually, you know, if a child has grown the beans, has got their fingers dirty, has threshed them, there's much more chance, isn't there, that they're actually going to eat the beans on their plate.
Yeah, it's familiarity. They're not a scary food and they're delicious.
Great. Thanks so much, Roseanne. Well, come back to me a bit later on, Rich, because I'm going to have my first look and my first feel of these two new bean varieties grown and developed right here in Warwickshire. The Olivia and the Godiva, of course. So very firmly rooted in Coventry and Warwickshire, and great and big news for us this morning.
And I'm guessing you might be doing a bit of thrashing of the bean, will you, Rosie?
Oh,
I'll give it a go. I don't really know what that means, but yeah, why not?
Coach, take care. Great stuff. Good memories, girl. Thank you very much. Keep them coming in this morning. We are loving listening to your family expressions and saying that your family used to say. Keep letting us know this morning. Right then, we have been spending the morning hearing all about the Godiva bean, because this morning we are celebrating the harvest of two local beans, as I say, the Godiva bean and the Olivia, a black bean named after a character from Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. And they've been growing at the University of Warwick, and it's harvest time, and that's where our very own Rosie is in it. Rosie, are you ready?
Hi, Rich. I definitely am. The sun is as high as an elephant's eye, to coin another of my mother's expressions, here at the Crop Centre in Wellesbourne. And it is brightening up. It is lovely and warm. What a great morning for harvesting, because today is actually a massive day here. It's the first time they will be harvesting these beans developed right here in Warwickshire for commercial production. Well, they're going to be harvesting them for seeds, which will be grown next year for commercial production. I'm here with Professor Eric Hollop, who's the lead researcher on this. Morning again, Eric.
Good morning.
So talk me through some of these beans, because we've got in front of us a grey crate where you very helpfully labelled all these different varieties that you've developed here at the Crop Centre. So first of all, you can probably hear the sound of this. That is the sound of the Godiva bean being picked up gently and fallen back into its carton. So this is what you call a blonde-coloured bean. Tell me about Godiva.
So, yeah, Godiva is very distinctive. You can tell just by looking at it that this is something you've never seen before. So it's blonde-coloured. When it's cooked, it's about the size of a kidney bean, and it turns a nice brown. It takes on some of the colour from what you're cooking it in. So it looks really delicious when it's been cooked, and it's a good replacement for kidney beans.
I was going to ask, what sort of dishes might you be using this in?
Anything you might associate with Mexico. So it makes a really good refried bean. It's really good in chili. It's really good just in anything, any soups, anything that you want to add a bit more fiber and protein into your diet.
So that's the Godiva bean, and a very well named, might I say. Now, if we move over next to it, very different looking is this Olivia bean. Let's hear from the Olivia. Ooh, that's a lovely noise, isn't it? Really sensory, actually, running my fingers through it. Now, Olivia is a black bean, a little bit smaller than the Godiva.
Yeah, it's smaller. You're probably familiar with the turtle bean, which is an imported black bean. This is a little bit larger than that. But when it's cooked, it's well, similar size to a cannellini bean, but it's black, and it has a nice colored syrup gravy that it makes with it.
So while we're sharing recipes, what could you make with the Olivia?
Olivia is fantastic if you make black bean soup. It can be really good in a vegetarian burger. You see lots of recipes. I mean, basically, a black bean we're familiar with as being sort of the super bean, super food. Mm. So anything you would use a turtle bean in, Olivia would be a good replacement for that.
And we've talked already about how traditionally in this country, you know, perhaps we didn't work a lot with dried beans, but actually people are choosing much more vegetable-based diets these days. So perhaps this is your time.
Absolutely. And it does come back to the kitchen. That's where we learn how to cook things. And anybody that's tried growing any pulse of beans or peas from a dry ingredient, you start to realize it actually does taste better. You know what you're cooking. You're choosing things to cook with those beans. So those decisions and the experience of the flavors that you get when you cook your own is really important.
So if I just stand up away from this carton of beans and look across the fields, we've got two sections here, haven't we? A large field, two sections. One is the Olivia and one is the Godiva. And behind them, looking rather menacing, actually, is a combine harvester. Now, what's going to be happening here later?
So later we'll be using that combine harvester. It's a conventional piece of farming equipment. And the purpose of that is to pick up the seed, the plants in the ground, run it through the machine, and it separates all of the debris from the seed. And it will sieve the seed and put it into a bin. So we don't have to get dusty ourselves. The machine does it for us.
And next year, what is one field here is going to expand into many more fields, because all of these beans will be kept for crops next year, won't they?
Yes, they will. So the seed we harvest today of the Olivia, two passes of the combine, it should be enough to be able to plant about 4 football fields of Olivia next year. And the intention is that we will actually sell that in local stores. There's a store in Stratford, a zero store, Stratford, Leamington, Warwick, which is already, they're very keen to actually sell these in their gravity bins. You come in, you weigh up what you want from the bin.
That's lovely. So no food miles either, or only a couple?
Very local.
Yeah.
Very local, yeah.
Wonderful. Now, you talked about not getting dusty, but actually I would really like to have a little go at a mini version of this combine harvester this morning. So let's just step amongst the crops. Now, remind me, is this Olivia?
So this is Olivia, yeah. You can see leaves have fallen off. They're on the ground.
And that's a good thing when it comes to beans.
So the plants are dry, the stems are dry, and the pods are very dry. So if you want to pull some of those plants out.
A whole plant. I feel a bit bad doing this, right. But it's only what the combine will be doing later. Okay. Oh, it's got a good old root on it, almost the size of a carrot. And here we are, the Olivia. And I think I can say I am one of the first, anyway, people to have picked this bean, which will be used for a commercial seed next year.
You will quite literally
die. Developed and grown right here.
You will quite literally dine out on that factory forever.
After a couple more hours.
I certainly will.
Yeah, a couple more hours, these pods are going to be much more brittle. So when the combine comes through, these seeds will just pop out and end up in the bin.
And it's all going to happen here in Wellesbourne this afternoon. Eric, thank you so much.
That's threshing. You've just done threshing by hand.
I did threshing, Richard, without even knowing it.
You did it well done, Rosie. Have a great one. Appreciate it.